But Nehemiah, we've been in the study of Nehemiah for like since Jesus came 2,000 years ago. It seems like we've been in this study for a long time. But today, chapter 6, we finished the wall. Can somebody say glory to God? 6 months has passed. Nehemiah's there working, fighting devils. So we know he's a man of prayer. He's a worshiping warrior. So he's praying, he's working, and he's warring. He's got a hammer in one hand building the wall, and he's administrating the teams to build it. Then he's got a sword in the other hand, and he's fighting the devil. How many know the devil is defeated by the word of God? I said the spirit of God and the word of God will help you accomplish the will of God. Oh, I need some help to preach. The will of God can be accomplished if you understand the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And that's our precedent for today's lesson. It's chapter 8. We're going to skip just right on over chapter 7. It's got 1,000 people that Nehemiah mentions. Remember, this is the memoirs. This is the writings. This is the journal of Nehemiah, right? He's a layman. He's the governor of Jerusalem in Judea. He's come to lead. And God can raise up leaders. But there's different giftings for different leaders. In chapter 8, Nehemiah is going to take a step back and Ezra is going to take a step up. How many know God sets people up and he sets people back? And listen, Micah had just a short time, you know, of his ministry. You know, Jeremiah had a ministry. It didn't seem profitable. How many know God knows how to raise people up for specific purposes? God has a plan and a purpose for your life. If you know God, the next step for you to get going and learn and grow up and mature is to learn who you are. And Nehemiah knew who he was. He said, I'm a builder. I am a leader. I'm able to get the people together and do a great work for God. And he did. The wall is finished. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And what an amazing chapter. We've been talking about the construction of the wall all this time, and now we turn from construction to instruction. Now the wall is finished, but listen, the people need to be built up. We already built the wall, now we need to be building the people. A church is good to have, but if the people are not grown up and spiritually strong, I mean, the devil can have a heyday with a building that's built or a wall that's built, but a people that are torn to pieces. So the church is not made up of mortar and brick. I mean, the church is made up of people. Could somebody shout people? People is what God is trying to strengthen and build. And so Nehemiah comes in, and the nation of Israel, they are people of the book. Okay? They're people of the book. Nehemiah is a man of the book. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of the spirit. So we got to know who we are. We are. That's exactly right. And more importantly, the people of God, right? We are the people of God. The Israelites knew who they were, but sometimes they had a tendency to forget who they were and whose they belonged to. And so many times the psalmist, chapter 78 of the book of Psalms, says they forgot God in the wilderness. They serve God, they worship God, and they forgot him. And sometimes we get a little amnesia and forget who brought us this far. Does anybody here know who got you this far? God did, right? And so they're people of the book, and my goal today is to help us learn from Israel's example to be people who love the word of God. And in America today, just for our intro here, we have forsaken the word of God in our nation. We were built on the word of God, Judeo-Christian values. We started our nation that way. Our forefathers planted to be that way. If they said Bible one time, how many of our forefathers said it 1,000 times? You build a nation on the word of God. Israel, the nation of Israel, was built upon the law, upon the word of God. Are you with me? And when Israel stayed with the word, they were able to move and advance and be the people of God, people of the book. When they did not obey the words of the book, they had to suffer the consequences. And so we have lost many preachers and replaced them with storytellers and motivational speakers, people who like to tickle ears. I didn't come today to make you feel comfortable. The Holy Spirit has come to make you feel convicted. Now, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. I mean, Satan comes to condemn you, but the Spirit of God comes to convince you. that the word of God cannot save you. The law could not save the people of God. It could only convince them that they needed a savior. And oh, what a savior we have. Amen. We just sang about it. So the same thing happened in America. People are, we're losing the battle of the blessing, because the blessing comes when you preach and teach the word. When the people of God become people of the book. Here we are. If we want a fruitful harvest, we must see once again people of God delighting in the law of the Lord. The psalmist said, I delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law do I meditate day and night. Psalmist couldn't wait to get up and express the word of God. Every good Jew would wake up in the morning and they would say, the Lord our God is one God. And then they would say, I would love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. That's what they would say. And we need to know the word of God can change you. So far, Nehemiah was a worshiper and a warrior in prayer, and he worked on the wall and was very successful. But now we see his calling in the other troops. Ezra, I don't know where he's been for the last 13 years, but here he pops up again. He was in Jerusalem 13 years prior. And he was helping to restore the temple and to get the people spiritual. But the temple, you know, the enemy came in. How many know the devil? Anytime you take a step toward God, the devil's going to take a step toward you. And so the enemy shut down the work. And now Nehemiah has come for a new day. But now Nehemiah says, hey, my job is finished. My job is finished. I took care of the wall, but now it's time to take care of the people. So he calls in Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah are two different people. Nehemiah is choleric. He is a leader. He is a motivator. He is one to get the job done. And God called him and used him for such a time. And he was humbled in the presence of the Lord. He wasn't intimidated or afraid of the devil. How many know you can't be afraid of the devil? Not if you're going to be in leadership. You're going to have to stand up and be strong and courageous and do great things for God. But he's also humble. Nehemiah steps back and says, I need to bring in Ezra. Why? Because Ezra is a priest and a scribe. The Bible talks about Ezra and talks about how he was learned and how he studied and how he devoted himself to the law and began to be a minister for the Lord. And so the material needs have been met. Now we turn to focus on the spiritual needs of the people. And Nehemiah will not, he will move aside, but his mission is not done. Yet he calls on Ezra to come and preach a Bible conference. January, my wife and I and Chrissy went to a Bible conference, a prayer and Bible conference. I would love to go every year. It's on every year. But this year in January, we were able to go. Can I tell you, I don't know of a better way to start the year off than prayer and Bible conference. We need to get back to the word of God. Can somebody help me preach? And so now that the walls are up and we're getting the devil out of the city, now we need to build up the people of God to get back to the word of God. So this is where we are. And so Nehemiah is setting it up, and it didn't just all of a sudden happen. I mean, leaders make things happen. They don't watch things happen. Nehemiah prepared everything. He calls in Ezra, and now he calls him to come in. Together, they make the word of God the number one priority for Israel. Life in the city is a byproduct of the people's response to the scriptures. And life at Oak Grove is the byproduct of the people's response to the word of God. Can I tell you, we're having a deficit in our nation, in our churches, of hearing and obeying the word of God. Some of the issue is with the preacher, and some of the issue is with the people. Many times our preachers are failing to preach the word of God. They would like to set themselves up in a very comfortable place, so they don't want to lose anybody or offend anybody or make anybody go away feeling sad or convicted. How many know the conviction is the Holy Ghost issue? I'm just a messenger. Don't kill the messenger. Somebody help me out here. Nehemiah turned it over to Ezra to get the word of God to the people of God. And I think there's a lot of people. Listen, I feel like camping out right here for just a little. Can I preach just a little bit right here? So we need a spiritual revival, the preaching of the word of God in our day. America needs to revive the pulpit. People need to preach the word. It has to be. Without the word of God, there is no people. There is no vision, right? There is no, the people's restraint. They're restrained from knowing God. There has to be the word of God for the people to get revelation. You have to express it. You have to preach it. And the dark periods of church history were days when preaching of the word ceased and the people no longer could get a word from the Lord. Let me just tell you, we need to revive the word of God in America. One lady was able to take prayer out of schools, which eventually led to taking the word of God out of the schools. And now they want to take the Ten Commandments out of the court system. How many know the devil's on a fast race to eradicate the word of God from our nation that was built on the word? If you believe it, shout amen. In Oak Grove, we know that the Spirit of God uses the word of God to cleanse hearts and revive us again. So God is at work in us, through us, and if he is, then we must respond positively to the word of God. So I want us to take that as a precedent, and we need to understand the need for preachers to preach the word. Let me just stop to talk about the concept of preaching. You say, Pastor, you know, we don't need anybody standing up in a pulpit and preaching the word. Really? You're about to witness in Nehemiah chapter 8 that very thing. They're going to open the book of the law, the law, in the house of the Lord. And the people of God are going to hear the word of God. And they're going to repent. And they're going to worship. And they're going to sing. And they're going to bow. And they're going to have revival because they're going to respond to the word. The concept of preaching is not new. Jesus went everywhere preaching the good news. Did he not? Am I making this stuff up or do you believe me? Jesus went preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. They weren't worried about a popularity contest. They weren't concerned with filling their pew or their pockets. They were worried about transformation in the lives of God's people. And the only thing that can transform people is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord convicts and convinces people of sin. But you have to preach. It's a concept of preaching. It matters. I said, how many things preaching matters? I'm hearing a lot today of people saying, well, Pastor, you know, that's outdated. I've just come to remind you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I tell you, Romans 10 said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach if we don't send them? Can I ask you, Oak Grove, to start praying the Lord of the harvest to raise up preachers? I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're a dog or a cat. If you can preach, just get up and preach. Don't preach yourself or your own opinions. Preach the word. I don't care if you're young or old. Testify, declare, proclaim the word of the living God, and the word of God will change this generation. We need the concept of preaching again. We need to preach again. And so, raise them up, Lord. Raise them up at Oak Grove. People who will not shrink back from preaching truth so that we can get back to being the people of the book. And secondly, can I just spend a little bit more time here? I mean, we've been in here 6 months. We might as well take the rest of the year. Not only the concept of preaching, but how about the content of preaching? You know, a lot of circles, people are moved by the speaker. You know, you can get a congregation to be moved. If you cry a little bit, they'll cry a little bit. God's people are gullible. If you cry a little bit, they'll cry a little bit. But I mean, no, I'm not here to move your emotions. I'm here for you to get the truth of the word of God. I mean, no, the Spirit of God can use you and move you. But this was not an emotional move on Nehemiah or Ezra's part. This is thus saith the Lord, right? And so the content matters. It matters what you preach. There's a tendency today for people to be drawn by the entertainment and the tickling of ears who tell you what you want to hear so you walk away feeling good about yourself and not guilt. But we're seeing the ramifications of that. If somebody will keep praying, God will raise up preachers who will make God's word a priority again. Amen? Without using preaching in the pulpit as a source for your own means. Stuffing your own pocket or your own pride for personal gain or popularity, but out of the power of salvation. How many know the power of the gospel? The word of God is power to save souls from sin. And so, the power of God. Could somebody help me preach this morning? Amen. You don't have to shout. You don't have to dance. But you do have to listen intently with a desire to hear the word of God. Can I just tell you this morning? If you just actually had to pull yourself up out of the bed and force yourself to be clothed and take a bath of hope and drive to church. Oh, my goodness, to get the house of the Lord. And here we are. Hurry up, Pastor. I'm already half dead. It's 11 o'clock. If that's your motivation, you don't have a desire for the word. You're walking in a religious spirit and not a righteous spirit. I'm here to tell you, this is an awesome chapter, and it blesses me, and it makes me long for what's about to happen in our day. How many know God's going to raise up a church who wants the word of God? People of the book, people of the spirit. And nothing like this had happened since the days of Josiah, when the scribe found the scroll that was lost in the house of the Lord. It blows my mind that the book of God could be lost in the house of God. But Shaphan, the high priest, found the book of the law. And when he began to read it out loud, the king tore his clothes and they had a mighty revival. Why? Because the word of God makes a difference. Reading the word of God, giving priority. It's a day of revival, reformation. It's a day when God stirs people up. He steps in. Nehemiah has nothing to do with it. Neither does Ezra. Neither do the Levites. God uses them as instruments. How many know it's not the preacher? It's the word. But there is some content. I've been in churches with people highly emotional. And I am one. But I tell you what. It's not fair for me to just rant and rave and say nothing. I've been in churches where a lot of Pentecostal stir and fervor. And they say, Moses led the people of God around the wilderness for 40 years. And they say it again. I said, Moses led the people of God around the wilderness for 40 years. And the people, I mean, no, this is not an emotional game. If you don't have content in what you're saying, it's not going to change people's lives. It's not about a cheap little story, you know, kumbaya. It's not like 20-minute speech so you can go back and smoke your cigarette and talk about the sermonette. It's about change in your life. God has come down in the power of his spirit and poured it out. Amen? Amen. And now some things were predicated by Nehemiah because we know he had to build a platform. We'll see that in a minute. It wasn't built in a day. So he built the wall. Then he knew he was going to have Ezra come and preach to the people of God. So he built an elevated platform where everybody could hear him. The wall behind him, maybe as a soundboard to get the voice out. Or maybe so that everybody could hear. But he built this thing. If he can build a wall, I mean, he can build a platform. So I just want to serve notice right here today. We're not here up on this platform because I'm great. We're here up here because the word of God is predicated as a priority of Oak Grove Assembly. Pulpit is in the center of the house because the center of the house is where the word of God is. There's nothing going to take more priority than the presence of God, the spirit of God, and the word of God. Nothing. I don't care if people come. I don't care if they go. How many know the word of God must remain in the house? The priority is the word of God. So Nehemiah said, go home. Oh, the wall's finished. Go home. Take a few days. Be with your wife. Be with your husband. Be with your kids. Eat some food. Relax and rest a little bit. I'm sure you're tired. Rest up and get back here on the first day of the month. So now 6 months has gone by. And let's look at some scripture before you all get mad at me for not reading the Bible. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Already we've seen Jerusalem destroyed, 586. King Cyrus of Persia has taken over Babylon, 539. And the decree to rebuild the temple, 538. 536, rebuilding begins. 516, temple completed, rededicated. God is faithful. Can somebody say amen? 458, Ezra returns. 448, Nehemiah completes the Jerusalem wall. And listen, thousands return to Jerusalem. He read the numbers in 7. Now we're in chapter 8. So let's look at it. Now he built this platform. All the people have their palm branches because there are 3 feasts that are going on. You understand? We'll explain that in just a few minutes. But just, do you remember that the triumphal entry of Christ? When Palm Sunday, just a few weeks ago, Passover started, the palm branches were waving, people were rejoicing, the Messiah has come, Jesus is going to rescue us from Roman oppression, and we're going to have a great leader. And no. They killed the Messiah, put him in a grave, and last week we talked about the two boys on the road, or couple that was on the road to Emmaus, who lost their hope, put down their palm branches, went back to work, went back to their nets. They lost hope. That's what we talked about last week. But how many know these feasts have been going on since the beginning of Israel? And many kept them and many didn't keep them. It's kind of like church has been going on for 2,000 years. How many know Christianity has been going on for 2,000 years? Some people are still people of the book and some people are not. Some people think church is a priority and some people just go through the motions. Some think the Spirit is going to help us and some people don't. But how many know the Word of God is still truth? It does affect change. And throughout the years, this is what happened. So this is what's going on. There's some pictures. Ezra reads the book of the law. There's a pulpit. Thank God for a pulpit. I've been in some churches that don't have a pulpit. I don't even know what to do with myself. I had a little bitty thing right here to put water. That's fine if that's what you like. But I like a place to put my Bible. Can I tell you, I bring my Bible to church. You got it on your phone, God bless you. Maybe you can build a little baby pulpit for your phone. You know, God bless you. But here they are, flowing in. Here it is. All the people, somebody say all the people. All the people gathered together as one man. That's unity. At the open square, where? In front of the what? The water gate. This is not politics. This is not something happened a few years ago, Watergate. This is the Watergate, which stands for what? The Word of God. You remember how many forgot? Here, let me give you one of these blue pieces of paper. You can get it in the full foyer there, tell you what each gate was about. We went through all of that. All the people gathered at the Watergate, and they ask Ezra, understand who made the request. The people of God asked the man of God to open the book of God. Now, how many know that's the beginning of a revival right there? Are you glad? Anybody here glad that Oak Grove is a people of the book? Aren't you glad we have church Sunday morning? We don't have enough. We come back Sunday night. Aren't you glad? Not everybody's glad. But we come back not just to take up your time on Sunday night. We got something to say again tonight. You fighting devils from Monday through Saturday. How many know Sunday ought to be a day of the Lord? And the day of the Lord, we worship the Lord and we hear the word of the Lord. And we experience the presence and the power of the Lord, right? The Spirit of the Lord. This is what's normal. But in our day, it's abnormal. And so let's keep going because I know you're excited. They got there and they asked Ezra to read the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. It's a gift. So Ezra the priest, he brought the law before the assembly. He brought the word. Women and all who could listen. With understanding. So everybody who had an understanding, ability to understand, he brought the word on the first day of the seventh month, pretty significant. Then he read from it in front of the open square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday. Early morning until midday. Let's say early morning is 6 a.m. I've been here since 6 a.m. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Midday. I mean, no, midday in Jerusalem is the same as midday in Springfield. Has anybody got a clue about that? 6 to noon is 6 hours. And y'all can't hardly let preacher preach till 12 o'clock. Oh, pastor, come on, get with this thing. It's already 10 after. That man of God opened the book of God and read it for 6 hours. Oh, you say, pastor, that's Old Testament stuff. Brother Marino, that's Old Testament. We don't do that. We've been living by grace in the New Testament. God has spared us from all that. Well, Paul preached so long, one guy fell out of the window, fell asleep, broke his neck. He had to go to a healing evangelist to heal him and get him back up. Some of you already feel like you fell asleep and broke your neck, but it's all right. We're going to keep on going here. And look what happened. In the presence of the men and women, those who could understand, and all the people listened carefully to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a large wooden platform, which they had constructed for this purpose. And beside him on the platform stood 13 people. How about that? I'm trying to help you. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book. So first he brought the book, now he opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was standing above them, not because he's an elitist, not because he's the clergy and you're the laity. I mean, no, there's no such separation. Preachers do that. They want to keep you ignorant of the word of God. Because as long as you don't know, you'll depend on me to know. I mean, a good preacher will let everybody know what he knows. Everything I know, you're going to know. Right? Because I don't have the corner of the market on the Bible. But many preachers want to set themselves up and tell you, if you was as smart as me, you would understand it. But you need me. But I'm trying to tell you, you don't need me. You need Jesus. Come on, whose name is up here? It's all about his name. It's all about his book. It's his kingdom and his church. And you are his people. So you should be reading his book, right? And they stood above him. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. I'm not going to ask you to stand, because to some of you, that's just like more than person could possibly handle, to stand for the reading of the word. Then Ezra blessed the Lord. Now here's some powerful stuff right here. They blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered and said, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. This was the scene. I don't know who wants to do it. Anybody want to do it? Come on up here if you want to do it. Just grab some palms. You don't have to. I hate to freak anybody out, but if you want to do it, I'm about to do it. This is what they did. Come on, Ryan, help me. Just, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read it right here. I'll tell you what they did. That's what you do. Okay? Whatever they did, that's what you do. Here we go. Come on, give them a big hand. This is what they did. Here, have one. Have one. You got one? Everybody got one? Good. Here we go. Good. Now I don't have one. That's okay. I got hands. And all the people, while he was reading the book of the Lord, blessing the Lord. First, he's blessing the Lord before he read the book. So he starts blessing the Lord. How many know how to bless the Lord in this house? Did Chrissy and Johnny and the gang last Sunday bless the Lord? Did they not bless the Lord? My goodness. Johnny, how did you bless? Bless the Lord. What was the name of that song? It was good. What? How did you go? Bless the Lord. And I will bless the Lord. All right, I'm going to start it first. You start. I will bless the Lord. I will praise his name. I will bless. Y'all supposed to be doing all of this? Okay, come on. Put your hands together. I will bless the Lord. I will praise his name. I will bless the Lord. I will praise his name. And then what did they do? This is serious. Their hands were lifted up. They're kneeling down and they worshiped the Lord. And then their faces were to the ground. Then they was up and then they was down. Then they was up. Oh, I think this was a Pentecostal church. I think this is a Pentecostal. Come on, give these guys a big hand. Take that to you. Ryan, collect all of those and take them with you. Oh, man, they were praising the Lord. Can I tell you the best way to start a Bible conference is to worship the Lord. Man, they were praising the Lord and clapping and raising their hands and singing and waving and whew. Where did they get these palm branches for? We'll talk about that in a minute. Or maybe next time, because it's already 15 after. I knew I wouldn't get past verse 8. I just knew I wouldn't get past verse 8. But they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground and then up and down. All the way around. Woo! Does anybody feel like worshiping the Lord? I have a mind to call the worship team up. Just go after it. Something's about to happen in the house of the Lord. And all these guys, 13 of them. These are 13 more. That's 26. They explained the law to the people. And the people remained in their places. In other words, they're still standing. Somebody say, I'm still standing. Still standing, 6 in the morning. I don't know if they had Porter John somewhere. I don't know if they had a coffee Starbucks in the foyer so you can get conveniently comforted. I don't know if you got to go and look on your phone and call somebody because you are so valuable and important. I mean, the word of God is why we're here. You can put the phone away, put everything out of your mind and worship the Lord. They worshiped the Lord from 6 in the morning till noon. And they praised and they blessed the Lord. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. When God's people got together, they knew how to worship the Lord. Does anybody know how to worship the Lord? This is what was happening. And so let's keep going. So they read from the book of the law. Now they read the book, translating and explaining it. Can I tell you? All good preaching has an element of teaching. And all good teaching has an element of preaching. It's not either or. But while Ezra was reading the book, the Levites and all those other 26 people were in the crowd explaining the book. You see that? Discipleship is important at Oak Grove. This is the year of the Bible. Come on, we said it in January. This is the year of the Bible at Oak Grove. The year of the word. We're going to grow deeper. We're going to learn. We're going to know what we believe. Not because pastor said it, because the Holy Spirit revealed it to you. You're reading your Bible, and God's helping you to become a disciple. One who has discipline. One who is people of the book, understanding the reading. So the people can understand the reading. And then Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest, see the two different giftings? And the scribe and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord, our God. And you know, they were weeping and crying because when you're presented with the word of God, how many know conviction will come by the Holy Spirit? Paul said, preach the word, not because he didn't have anything else to do, but preaching of the word brings conviction. It convinces you of sin. And when the Shaphan, the high priest, remember, in Josiah's revival, whenever he read the word in the house of the Lord, the king rent his clothes, and all the people wept and mourned and repented. You see that? For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. So we shout and we sing and we dance and then we hear the word and we repent. Repent. Can I tell you, repentance is a good word. Amen? It means to turn around, change your mind. It means to make a change, to be transformed, not conformed. I believe our church in America today, the Big C, the whole church in America, has been convinced that the preaching of the word is not a priority. I mean, the devil is a liar. We stay with the book. This is what happened. And they all repented and were weeping. Then Ezra said to them, hey. Oh, we're about to get a party in this place and it's time to go home. And we're just getting started. It's time to go. He said, go your way. Eat the rich festival food. Drink the sweet drink. And send portions to him of whom nothing is prepared. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. Now, I don't know. Let's keep going so I can show you a picture of the Feast of Booths. For this is the holy day of the Lord, right? And do not be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Don't worry about it. Okay? You heard the word of the Lord. Now go and do the festival. So the Levites quieted all the people saying, shh, 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 shh. Ryan and the boys, hey, calm down. Stop weeping and crying. We know you was a scoundrel, but now Jesus saved you. How many know there's joy in forgiveness? That's why we don't really have altars anymore in our churches. We don't want people to come and mourn and grieve and weep and cry and repent because it makes them feel bad. Can I tell you? Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Without repentance, there is no joy. You got to get things right before you can celebrate in the Passover, in the Day of Atonement, in all of these festivals, the Sukkoth, okay? And so I want you to see this because he said, be still, for the day is holy. Don't worry about it. The Lord has forgiven you. On the 10th day is the Day of Atonement. The first day is like our day. It opens up, but the first day of the conference is like our New Year's Day. Can I tell you, there's not a better day than New Year's Day to make a commitment to God. That's what their day was. It was like their first day. The 10th day was the Day of Atonement when the Lord would offer up, the priest would offer up the blood, right? put it on the mercy seat and God would forgive it and push their sins to the next year, the Day of Atonement. It's a major, major thing they must do every year. They had to do it. We don't. Is anybody glad we have Jesus? Come on, Jesus took care of ours. He's a sin offering once and for all. But they had to do it every year. Oh, I don't think y'all are getting this. It's time to stop preaching and start teaching. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year on behalf of all the Israelites and himself. He would cleanse himself, take the blood from the ultimate sacrifice, right? Jesus. And he put it on the mercy seat. God would have mercy and push their sins forward. They didn't have to worry. Don't worry about it. Is anybody here glad for the forgiveness of sin? Man, when you get a clear conscience and a pure heart before God, how many know it makes you want to shout? When you start thinking about the faithfulness of God, it makes you want to worship, like Chrissy was saying. I'm forgiven. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. I believe the word of God. I believe the blood can overcome anything the devil wants to put in my way. I can get forgiveness. So I weep and I mourn and I cry at an altar. But when I wake up, come on, when I get up from that altar, I dry my eyes and I grab a hold of my palm branches. I don't need them, but keep them there. But then I start to rejoice. Look what he does. All the people went on their way to eat, drink, and send portions of food to others. So now, listen, the Lord's forgiven them. They're in right standing. Now the thing to them to do is at the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, they would now do something good for somebody else. Those who didn't have any food, they would take some of their harvest and bring it to them. It's what God desires, right? To love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So this is what's happening. He said, hey, send portions to the others. Celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which had been communicated to them. Now, I was born and raised a little young Roman Catholic boy. I was an even altar boy, very committed, put on the long gown, rang the bells. That was a sad bell, but I don't have a bell. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, whatever. Do this in remembrance of me. I didn't have a clue who Jesus was. I had no idea who Jesus was. And the little bitty liturgical readings that they would give, a mouse couldn't hear enough of the word. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to tell you a truth here. And so they didn't teach me the Bible. I never understood what was going on. I didn't know the Bible. Didn't have enough of the Bible for me to even whet my appetite. But when I came to Jesus, I wish somebody helped me out here. I walked into an Assembly of God church and they explained the word. And I got saved, and then they began to keep on teaching me what it means. And I began to learn, oh, that's why. Oh, my goodness, this is good. Does anybody love the word of God? And you know, there are people week after week to go to church and leave the same way they came because they did not understand the word of God. That's detrimental. I think that's sad. I think that's the pastor's fault, the shepherd's fault, the teacher's fault. Because they understood the words that were communicated. Now look at this. On the second day, that was all of the first day, and it's time to go home. On the second day, all the heads of fathers, households of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered before Ezra the scribe to gain insight into the words of the law. Divine instruction comes from the word of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should live in booths, huts, during the feast of the seventh month. All right. I don't have a booth. Maybe I do. Bring those things up here. Bring them up here, Ryan, because we got to close real quick. Bring all the little palm branches, and we're going to make the pulpit. We're going to make this the booth. We're going to make this the booth. Is that all right, Chrissy? We're going to make a booth real quick. It's a feast of booth. Put them all right here like you're making some kind of booth. Yeah, there. Let me help you. Make a booth. We're making a booth. This is what they did. They did this way from the time of Moses all the way to now. Can you see that? How's he doing? Good booth, brother. Good job. So he made this hut. Here's what happened. Commanded by Moses to make this hut out in the wilderness. So they would leave the city. They would leave the city and they would go and they would lay down. I'm not going to lay down in a suit here. But they would lay down under the hut outside because this is what they did. They were a nomadic tribe of Israel. They went all over the wilderness, right? And they would remember at the Feast of Tabernacles, they made the tabernacle, the booth, and they would lay down and look at the stars, the sky, and they would think and contemplate about the Passover when God spared them and rescued them from Pharaoh and then led them through the Red Sea. You split the sea so I can walk, right? You remember that? We just sang it 15 minutes ago, folks. Okay, 30. Okay, 45. But they're recalling the goodness of God. They're recalling the goodness of God. They're in the Feast of the Tabernacle. They're looking in the stars and they're recalling the festival of God. So they proclaimed and published an announcement in all the cities in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the hills and bring olive branches, wild olive, myrtle, palms, and other leafy branches to make booths as it is written. Okay, they didn't just make it up. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on the roof of his house and in their courtyards and the courtyards of God's house and in the open square of the water gate and in the square of the gate of Ephraim. All there, they made these booths. And I want you to see the people, all the people. Now, this has been going on for generations. But not every Israelite got involved. How many know something special is going on in this meeting? The word of the Lord has come to the people of God. And just like Josiah had revival, so now will Nehemiah and Ezra have a revival. I think we're going to have to pick up next week, Chrissy, on the revival part. How many want to have revival next Sunday morning? Okay. You don't have to wait. You can come back tonight and have just as much a revival. But I know how you are. Come back next Sunday. We'll look at the revival they had and how they responded to the word of God. But I just want to show you the entire assembly. Somebody say entire assembly. The entire assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and lived in them for 7 days. How ridiculous. You didn't hear no complaints in the pew. What's Pastor Ron doing? He's so silly making booths. You know, Moses, that's good for them, but we don't need to make booths. Oh, how many times we have to do communion? Communion again already? How many know it's commanded that we take communion? The word of God commands us. Oh, what's baptism? What's the Feast of Tabernacles? What is this? What is the Holy Spirit? How many know the word of God must be obeyed? You got to hear it to obey it. You got to receive it. And so they lived in them indeed since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that very day. This hasn't been done in fullness for 200 years. The Israelites hadn't done this for 200 years. She's taking down my booth, but that's all right. That's okay. 200 years. They had not done so. And there was a great rejoicing. Would you stand with me this morning? We're about to have a great rejoicing. Last verse. Every day. From the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, and they celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a closing solemn assembly in accordance with the ordinance. Wow. That was my introduction to chapter 8. I just got through the scripture. But I'm going to take next Sunday to touch chapter 8 again because there's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to obey the word. And there's a whole lot of rejoicing in there. I just wanted to give you the scriptures. It takes time to spend time in the presence of God. So, well, Pastor, you preached a whole hour. Now I got to go. It's 11:30. I got to go. Well, you know what? I get that. But if you need to spend time with God, there shouldn't be anything. I said you shouldn't allow anything to deter you from getting in the presence of the Lord. And if there's some things you need to get right with the word of God, you need to get back to believing the word, meditating on the word, reading the word. When was the last time you actually read the Bible besides sitting in church? Do you even have a Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Will you receive the Bible? Will you obey the Bible? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I spent a lot of time this morning setting it up because we have a lot of preachers that are not preaching the word. And are taking time to teach the word. And you know, it's awkward. I know it's awkward that we do a teaching series on Sunday morning. But you know, I told the deacons, I told our board, told Melissa, I'm tired of giving the word in a place where most of the people already know it. It's time to teach the people the word of God. If you can't get to the word, how many know the word has come to you? Not to insult you, but some of you, you know, Easter, Christmas, or Sunday morning only, that's all you can do. I get it. That's it. It's all of God you could fit into your very busy life. But I'm here to tell you, if you can't get to Wednesday or Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning prime time is going to get to you. Come on, Oak Grove. Is that okay? We teach the word on Sunday morning prime time, a.m. I know it traditionally was an evangelistic service, but nobody coming to get saved. Preaching the same word to the same people. Unless you bring sinners. I wish y'all would help me preach now. Maybe we need to start renting our clothes and repenting. Okay? But if you're not going to bring lost people to this environment, then we're going to go on and teach the word because you're already Christians. And maybe it will help you to grow and develop and become the people of the book and people of the spirit, people of God. A lot to say. No more time to say it. The altar is open. Okay? I believe that to have the word given is one thing. To respond to it is another. So that's what we're going to do. Altars are open. This is the word of the Lord. Let me show you that one picture of the booth. The Feast of Trumpets. Okay? The Day of Atonement. And the Feast of Tabernacles. There's the Feast of Tabernacles. See that little booth? See that? That's it. Maybe you need to come and build you a makeshift, invisible little booth where you can recall the goodness of God in the land of the living. How many know God has been good to you? He's calling you. He's setting you apart. Maybe we could take the next couple of minutes. It's only 11:30. I'm finished. Maybe you can come and have your own festival. You and God. You and the Lord. Nothing. The reason they had no roof is because there was nothing between them and the Lord. Nothing. You and God this morning. You and God. You have an appointment this morning. You and God. Reflect on His goodness and the things He's done for you. And I bet you by the time you get up from that booth, you'll be ready to shout and sing and worship the Lord and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God bless you. Thanks for being here.